Hi, with Julian on the brown note on another Sunday afternoon, trying to get through a backlog of semi-new albums. I've started listening to new music for the first time this year. So ironically, my first review is an old album, but it does relate to the last piece I think I did, which was on the band Can, who I said I think are my favourite rock band of maybe all time, on my favourite rock discography, the krautrock band, featuring Michael Caroli on guitar, who passed away in 2001, Jackie Liebeseit, who died in 2017, Erwin Schmidt, who died in 1999 on keyboards, Holger Zucke, who died in 2017, and of course Damo Suzuki, who died a week before I put that piece up. They're part of the krautrock legacy from Germany, and they've probably been the most widely lauded group and most influential group. Certainly a holy trinity would probably be New and Faust and Can. And for me, there's no doubt that Can's discography, which keeps growing, like the central discography from 1969 to about 1975, has expanded. The studio albums, we got Delay, which was a predecessor to Monster Movies, their debut album that was pretty much scrapped. We got that come out. We got Can Unlimited, a terrific double album collection, which again expanded their two vocalists, Malcolm Mooney and Damo Suzuki, across more albums than they were actually on. And now we've got this incredible live album release, which is so far four bootlegs that have been released since 2021, with the incredible Live in Stuttgart 1975. Most of these were recorded with a guy that used to go obsessively, an English guy that used to go obsessively to Can concerts with a tape recorder down his pants. I think by the end they were letting him stand on stage and actually record or next to the speakers. And the technology hasn't existed for these bootlegs that have been widely circulated to have been given official releases. And now they have. And Live in Stuttgart was incredible. For one thing, it was 90 minutes of unreleased music, and one thing that Can and the two other Live in Stuttgart and Live in Brighton releases, they were mainly non-studio album cuts, very long jams, and that's how Can worked. So there was no referenceable material on those releases. The Live in Stuttgart was incredible, but very, very punishing. It wouldn't be the first album I would go to if you were a newbie to Can. So then we get Live in Paris 1973, which has come out and is already my favourite album of the year. And it has two important caveats. One, out of the five tracks, three of them are in fact versions of three of Can's most prominent songs. So for the first time we really have studio cuts from Egi Bamiyasi, One More Night, Spoon and Vitamin C, live versions. And secondly, for the first time, we have Damo Suzuki on vocals. The other albums were entirely instrumental, by Stuttgart in 75 and Live in Brighton in 75 and Live in Cuxhaven in 76. Damo Suzuki was long gone. This one is 73, just after they released Egi Bamiyasi. It is one of the most thrilling live documents I've ever heard, particularly with the build-up. It's like the Velvet Underground and the first time I heard their 1968 live album, one of the best there's ever been, because I hadn't really heard, there wasn't much in the way of documents of the band. You know, studio albums, yes, but Live in Paris is incredible. The opening track itself, well, it's Can, isn't it? The opening track itself, and they're all called part, like Eins, Zwei, Drei, like they're all numbered tracks. Here we go. And it's another 90-minute release. Paris 73 Irons, which I think is one, part one, part two, is 36 minutes and 27 seconds long. It is one of the great openings of any live album, and it isn't a recorded piece. I think there's some segments towards the end where recognisable musical elements from some of their more famous tracks appear, but for the most part it's this incredible journey. Spidery drums kick it off that reminded me with the guitar a little bit of like late 80s Jane's Addiction style sort of alt rock, and it sounds really contemporary. And there's some more sort of painted black style guitars. And it's already built up a wall of sound by about 3.5 minutes in. And there's another 33 minutes to go. Damon Suzuki appearing on vocals is, you know, after hearing these previous three live albums, is mind-blowing. Sounds a little bit like the Oh Yeah backwards sort of vocals. And then it just sort of breaks down into this incredibly funky psych rock. Throughout the album, the Hogo Suke and Jackie Liebesit breaks that they form these drum and bass breakbeats are just a high point throughout, and they just do the most amazing ones. And the wailing on the guitars. At times, Damon Suzuki almost appears like a Mick Jagger-esque rock vocalist, which he didn't often on record. It's an astonishing thing. I mean, it's a mini album and it's the first track. It's just phenomenal. And it's great that after 36 minutes of this, when it stops dead, that the crowd are rapturously cheering. Like, they go through their first wave of cheers and then keep going. And it's great to know that there was, back in 73, such a compelled audience watching this amazing band. One More Night is the second track. And on the album, Egi Bamiyasi is an album that is known for three-minute pop songs in their discography. It's a groove that lasts for about 5 minutes. It really benefits here from being able to breathe and spread out, as do all of the three main Egi Bamiyasi tracks here. The fidelity is superb. You wouldn't really... I think if you didn't know, you were listening to the live version and someone put it on, you would assume that you were listening to the studio version. Another superb drum and bass break on there. And the synthesizer work on this album, I found the keyboard player to be a bit more prominent on this live recording than on the studio albums. And he's almost got that prodding spoon sort of synth pads going on. The third track is Spoon, which is was their biggest hit at the time, due to it appearing on a German TV show. It's the lowest fidelity out of all the tracks, and the fidelity is pretty much uniformly excellent, so you can tell that this one sort of goes in and out. It does get better as it goes along, but it also makes it sound more live as well. And it's kind of surreal just hearing them play Spoon for 16 minutes. That's the other appeal of this album, is that the Egi Bamiyasi tracks like Spoon, One More Night, and sorry, not One More Night, but Vitamin C, and some of the other tracks, the green one, are very clipped around the three-minute mark. They're some of their most concise. So hearing those tracks, which I've heard for many years, expanded is phenomenal. It's a great, you know, hearing Damo as a rock god. Damo Suzuki, a rock god singer. It's fantastic. It gets really sort of nervy and psychotic as it sort of ups the momentum as it goes along, and plateaus to quite some stunning finish. The track, track four, is that Vier or Dry? I'm not 100% sure. Vier is the track four on the album. Another 15 minutes is the most relentless, and it's also not a recorded studio piece. It's a wild, wigged out ride, and it's probably the most punishing and the most probably reminiscent of the Stuttgart live album. And then we finish with a near 14-minute version of Vitamin C, their most famous song, or at least their most famous short song, which you need. It's just phenomenal. It's like the low-key opening. Like, you really don't... It's only recently that I've come to understand how great melodically the band were. It's not just about rhythms and grooves. Like, the refrains and the vocal melodies are so strong on tracks like Vitamin C and on Spoon. Like, it really, really are. And it's just, it really benefits from this very low-key sort of weaving intro into Vitamin C, because it's such a famous track, and that, as soon as it starts, that dum, 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 and that break, hearing it sort of gradually wind through to that moment is really exciting. And then it just goes into this massively driving, pulverizing finale. It's an incredible version, and I would say vastly more. I would keep this one over the studio version. I wouldn't say vastly more, it's a perfect record, but I would probably keep this one over the studio version. And then it just cuts when it's rolling at full thunder down the road. It just cuts off, leaving you in the void. It's 90 minutes long, but it really doesn't feel like it to me. I thought it was a fantastic, fantastic live album, and another winning entry into this period from probably 68 to 75, 76 of Can albums that has gone from like five or six studio albums to at least another kind of studio album, a couple of collections, and at least two classic live albums for me. So I'm going to give Can Live in Paris, not getting reviewed really that heavily. I don't understand why, a 9.5 out of 10.